the meeting started in just a moment, and if you're listening in, if you don't mind, please mute your phone until you have something to say, a question to ask, or a comment to make, and then that way we won't have very much interference with the background. We'll get
Councilwoman
started.
Councilwoman Olivia Diaz?
We'll get started here in about 30 seconds, if that's okay. Do we have, who do we have on the line from the health district? Dr. Legan, Annette, who else do we have?
Hi, this is Michelle Cintron. And we have in the room, we're actually in Red Rock, we have our General Counselor Bradley, Dr. Legan, Michael Johnson, Andrea Green, Christopher Saxton, Amy Hagan, and myself, Michelle Cintron.
Well, good, Michelle. You did a good job on this.
And Jennifer Sizemore.
And Jennifer.
Okay, excellent.
And Ernest Blazard.
Okay. Carla Schiefenbaum. Joanne Ruhpiper. Heather Anderson Fintech.
Who are we missing from the board? Are you on the line, Marilyn?
I am.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll go ahead and get started. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for carving out some time this morning for this important emergency meeting of the Southern Nevada District Health District Board of Health. And at this time, I'll call this meeting to order. You don't have to stand unless you want to and need to stretch your legs, and you don't have to follow along, but I'm going to say the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we will take a roll call of the board for the record and then proceed to that point. So if you'll all listen in, I will say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you for listening in on that. And if we can ask our team there at the health district to just do a verbal roll call with the board and confirm that we're in compliance with the open meeting law, please.
Okay, hi, this is Michelle Cintron. Councilman Adams.
I'm here.
Okay. Chair Black.
Present.
Member Brisson. Council Member Diaz.
Here.
Commissioner Kirkpatrick.
Here.
Council Member Knutson.
Here.
Dr. Nemec.
Here.
Member Nielsen.
Here.
Commissioner Sagerbloom.
Here.
Councilman Stewart.
Here.
Councilman Wersten.
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Michelle. Just once again, folks, if you are joining us and you are not speaking, please put your phone on mute, if you don't mind. And then when we come to you and you would like to speak, make a comment, or ask a question, then you can unmute your phone at that time, just so we don't have a ton of background noise. We'll go now to item number 3 on our agenda. But before I open up for public comment, I just wanted to say really briefly that the health district, you know, we have a health district in our community for a reason, and every day of every year, they work in the background quietly to serve our community and provide us public health. And then when an emergency like this arises, yes. Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if someone wanted me to stop talking, but I'm going to keep talking here for a second. When an emergency like this arises, we have seen over the last several weeks the amazing aptitude and capability and commitment to public health from our professionals at the health district. I just wanted to say thank you so very much for the leadership and for the work that has been done. I know that we have many people within the agency that have gone above and beyond to serve our community during this very challenging time. I want to say thank you to Dr. Legan for his amazing leadership, for all of his team, the leadership team, and every employee of the health district, if you're listening. We have tremendous gratitude for what you do and what you've done and what you'll continue to do to serve our community during this crisis. So thank you. Thank you so much. We have great leadership in our community. I wanted to say thank you to Marilyn Kirkpatrick for bringing all of the local entities and jurisdictions together in an amazing and collaborative way. So thank you to her. And with that, we'll go ahead and go to item number 3 on the agenda, public comment. And what we'll do at this time is if you're on the line for public comment, I would ask that you state your name and address for the record. State your name very clearly so we can hear who is speaking. Limit your comments to no more than 3 minutes, and also items that are on our agenda, which is the one item relative to the alternative care facility at 280 South Decatur. That would be the topic of comments during this public comment. So who is on the line that would like to speak during public comment?
Mr. Black, this is Dr. Nemec. I'm having trouble hearing. There's still someone on the line that has a television in the background with Mario Cuomo speaking. So they either need to turn off the TV or mute their phone because it's really hard to understand.
Okay, thank you. If you're watching TV right now, trying to multitask, please shut the TV down so we can have less distractions during this meeting. Okay. Hopefully that will improve quickly. Hopefully whoever's listening can turn off their TV. And if your phone is not muted and you're not speaking, please mute your phone if you don't mind. So are there any that would like to speak during this public comment section?
My name is Scott Davis. I live at 7475 Desert Wildflower Street in Las Vegas, Nevada. And thank you all for allowing us to join in this conference call. I echo the comments made before about our healthcare workers and what an outstanding job they are doing, and the administration all the way to the governor on down. The question I have is in the article that was in the RJ this morning, which has to do with a group setting and not being able to isolate. My father, currently a veteran in the veterans home down in Boulder City. The latest information I have is they had three confirmed COVID-19 patients, and they are being isolated. All the residents there are being tested today. They will be submitted in a bulk order for testing, and we'll have those results in 4 to 5 days. I hope that we will not be moving those patients to the facility if they're talking about isolating all the COVID-19 patients. So that's my question.
So, Mr. Davis, thank you for joining us. It's more of a public comment opportunity, and I believe your question or concern will be answered during the presentation relative to this alternative care facility at the health district. And I think you'll be able to see what this intent is for this property or this facility much more clearly once you hear the presentation.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Davis.
Hello. Yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Mary Jane Smith. I live at 4030 Acapulco Avenue, Las Vegas, Nevada. My question was, I'm a partner in a small business by the name of Simple Space, SMPL in the word space. And my question was, have the capability of doing structures for deployment for temporary ICU units and pop-up testing facilities. And my question was, how can we submit a proposal or bid for something of a future that the county or city is going to be looking
at? Say your question one more time, please. Your comment, rather.
How can we put in a proposal or a bid to be able to provide these services to the county or the city?
Okay. Thank you for that comment. The gentleman who will be giving the bulk of the presentation relative to this agenda item is our CFO, and he will be talking about what procurement procedures are being utilized during this emergency. And so that should answer your question at that time, what mechanisms are being used to facilitate this acquisition. So you'll be able to learn the methodology that's being used at that time.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hello. My name is Rose Matta. I live at 84 St. John's Wood Avenue in Henderson. And in reference to building the Decatur facility, I was wondering if consideration had been given to, one, utilizing hotel space that exists due to the closures, especially unoccupied ones such as the Old Lady Luck, and two, if nursing homes are presenting a problem, if they could be consolidated and maybe one nursing home dedicated to the overflow so those senior citizens remain in a similar environment.
Thank you for your comment, Ms. Mata. Let me state, if I may, just for those that have called in and would like to say something relative to this agenda item, please note that this is a public comment. We're not in a position to have dialogue or answer specific questions at this agenda item, number three, public comment, but we're certainly absolutely interested in what your comment is and what you have to say. If you have a question, there is a high likelihood that that question will be answered during the presentation on Section 5, Number 1, the petition for this alternate care facility. So if you have a comment for or against or a thought to share, like Ms. Mata just did, there are so many conversations going on in our community about contingency plans and what we can do and how we can safely relocate folks. All of those conversations are being had at every level, from the health district all the way down to the local jurisdictions. Like Ms. Mata lives in Henderson. I know they have protocols in place, and we're all paying attention to the higher risk populations and what we can do to help these individuals. But the majority of your questions relative to this alternate care facility, I am very confident will be answered during the presentation. So just wanted to keep that in mind. If you have a brief comment or a thought that you'd like to share relative to this or a question, feel free to ask your question, and I'm hopeful that that question will be answered during the presentation. So thank you, Ms. Mata, for your comment.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to make a comment during this public comment portion? Okay, we'll close the public comment and
Chairman
move
Black.
To item number...
Chair
oh,
Black,
yes.
We have someone present for public comment at the health district.
Oh, okay, if they can access a microphone that we can all hear their comment and state their name, that would be fantastic. Thank you.
Yes, we can.
Okay, it's Victoria. Victoria Harding, SNHD and SCID.
Hi, Victoria.
Hi.
I wish we could see you right now. I wish we could see you, but we can't.
I know, me too. But I just wanted to see, when you're talking about the presentation of this particular item, can we get that in a context of what the larger picture is for us here in Southern Nevada, Nevada in general? Because, you know, we oftentimes don't hear a lot internally about kind of what's going on. So it would be interesting to all of us here at the health district to know what plan this is a part of.
For more information. Say that last part again, please, Victoria.
Yeah, if we can hear this in a way that it's a part of what our long-term plan is and what our short-term goals are, what this is going to accomplish, and what other things in the future we may be looking into, just because people are kind of interested and they want to know. And we also want to know, like, is FEMA helping us with PPE? which is another big thing that, you know, we're kind of short on some parts of it as well. So that would be interesting too.
Okay. So I anticipate that who's listening to a recording in the background? Please mute your phone.
Chair Black, this is Michelle Cintron. Kathleen Peterson, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I am going to ask that you listen to a recorded version of our meeting because we are picking up a lot of your background noise.
Actually, there is nothing here. It's got to be someplace else. I hear it, too.
You are mute? Okay, thank you.
It's over the phone. It's not me.
Okay.
Sounds like somebody put the call on hold.
At the Health District's main public health center at 280 South Decatur Boulevard. The cost per certificate.
The person on the recording has a lovely voice, but it's quite distracting for our meeting.
For more information. Childhood immunization. At the health district, there
we're going to pause just for 15 seconds and see if we can determine where this is coming from. Thank you for being patient, everyone.
Call the immunization clinic for information, 702-759-0850.
The ideas, Michelle?
Are you looking for help to pounds or tips about how to incorporate more food into your diet? Visit the health
which
district.
Which side is Maryland? How about everybody hang up and start over?
Website or online programs that help you make small adjustments.
What do you think about that?
What I'm going to do, they can hear us right now only.
Okay.
So,
but can they
keep it, the volume very down, so when the chairperson wants to talk, it's going to be the noise, because we don't know who's doing that. See, like right now it's quiet.
No, no, it's an open conference.
Everybody,
line.
Hang up and call right back.
Okay. Okay.
That's what he just said.
Okay. Well, I think there's something wrong with somebody trying to crack into the phone, and so we all had to hang up just now, and so I can give you your office back, okay? Well, it's something I'm doing. So I'm going to go back in here, okay? Yes. Use my cell phone.
Okay, Scott Black is back on the line. Mr. Segerbloom, are you with us?
I'm here.
Mr. Adams?
I'm here.
Mr. Stewart?
Here. Yo!
Mr. Worston?
Here!
Mr. Nielsen?
Present.
Ms. Diaz?
Here.
Ms. Kirkpatrick?
Here.
Annette, Dr. Legan, and our amazing team at headquarters?
Not be present.
Okay, we're going to get back with it. So is Victoria, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, did you want to finish your thought and your comment?
I just was hoping that...
You left off on PPE. You left off on PPE.
Oh, okay, the PPE, because you know, certain mask types and things, we do have issues. People are, you know, like... using them longer than they are supposed to be used and stuff. You know, and is this something that we're going to see in the future? Are we working on that? Is FEMA going to help us, you know, when things get bad? Things like that. I'd also like to hear if we're talking about FEMA.
Okay. Thank you. All right. I believe that concludes our public comment. Going once, going twice. Okay, we're closing the public comment. We're going on to item number 4, which is the adoption of the March 31st, 2020 emergency meeting agenda. And so what I'd like
to approve.
Okay, Dan Stewart, is that your motion to adopt?
Yep.
Okay, and do we have a second? State your name.
Second, Tick.
By Tick. And what we're going to do is we'll do it all in favor. And if there's someone that opposes, they can let us know after the affirmative vote. So all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And are there any in opposition? That motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much. So now we're going to item number 5, report, discussion, and action. Item number 1, petition 42-20, approval of the agreement of COVID-19 alternate care facility at 280 South Decatur Boulevard. And I'd like to turn the time over to Dr. Legan and his team for a presentation relative to this. Once they conclude their presentation, we'll go down the list of board members to ask questions that may be needing to be asked, and then we'll go to that point. Dr. Legan.
Thank you, Scott. Okay, Ernest is going to start, and then we will continue.
Ernest Blaser, Chief Financial Officer. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yes. I apologize. I was having trouble there in the room hearing things. The district seeks further direction and guidance from the board to pursue an opportunity to purchase modular construction of a patient treatment annex here at the main facility for the Southern Nevada Health District at 280 South Decatur. Attached to the petition, which was circulated yesterday, is a proposed building structure, which would be built here on the current premises by a local manufacturing organization based in Henderson. The idea would be to provide additional treatment areas and treatment facilities for, and especially with respect to the COVID-19 virus and the impact that that has had on the community. The funding opportunity that we've identified is through FEMA provisions, which will provide a 75%, 25% federal cost sharing. We have identified through this provider and the manufacturer of the facility, the building that we would require would be in the neighborhood of $3 million. This would be shared between FEMA, the federal funds, and the district funds. The district's portion would be between $750,000 and $800,000, depending on the build-out and the preparation of the site, the preparation of the facilities for construction of that facility here. The documentation that we have, that you have before you in the petition, suggests that there is a decision both, that there's an urgency here, both to meet the needs of the Southern Nevada and also to take advantage of this funding opportunity. I would like to propose that we explore this option as meeting the needs of the community in the short term, and longer term will provide us the flexibility to determine what to do with the structure, whether we keep it here on this particular site or it does have the capability of being moved elsewhere. So it's a fairly flexible opportunity to have immediate needs addressed, and then as the district's future needs are identified, have an opportunity to explore those with this construction, these construction modules. I would like to open it up for questions at this point.
Hi, Ernest.
Pass the mic over to Dr. Legan.
So, if I might, right. Chairman.
Yeah, before, okay, before we open this for questions, I just want to emphasize that this is an alternate care facility, and the main goal for this facility is actually to facilitate the isolation, quarantine of patients who either don't meet admission criteria for coronavirus, even so they are tested positive, or patients who have been admitted but still after discharge need to stay in isolation for a shorter period of time. So what we are referring to is mostly a population that could be either homeless, could be residents of nursing homes or assisted living facilities.
At the Casablanca Casino and the Virgin River Casino, offers all of your favorite casino games in a warm and friendly atmosphere. There are more than 50 table games, including blackjack, craps,
Okay. Who is at the Casablanca?
And Texas Hold'em. Our casino includes 100 of the most popular slot and video poker machines, featuring ticket-in, ticket-out technology.
No, brother.
So.
Join our club to maximize your game.
You have to announce
membership is free by signing up at any of our players' club desk. Earn valuable points redeemable for slot play, pump, or cash back.
There are systems available where the owner can actually put everybody on mute. That might be beneficial to take a look at for these types of calls.
We're looking at that for the upcoming committee and board meetings. Because this was an emergency meeting, we didn't have the opportunity to put anything like that in place. I apologize for the interruptions.
So, okay. So these are the main groups that we are looking at this facility. So this facility will be a kind of a transition of those individuals either from the early hospital discharge before being able to fully reintegrate in the community, or just individuals who are tested positive but do not meet admission criteria but still need to be in isolation. I also want to make a comment to the board about our petition that we will need to modify the petition because the petition is referring to non-congregate medical sheltering, but actually the facility that we are proposing would fall within a different area of FEMA, which is called emergency medical care, temporary medical facilities, and that's where you could actually take care of either isolation, quarantine patients, and helping decompress medical facilities.
And I would... Thank you, Dr. Legend. So, Councilman Stewart, you had a question or comment?
I did. As I went through the criteria or the qualifications to receive this 75% from feds, the federal government, to pay for this. The question in my mind is if you might, someone there, explain how the process works. In other words, do we go through and seek approval and get approval and then start the process? I just don't want to get the cart before the horse and get this thing rolling and then we don't receive approval. I'm just trying to understand. I'm sure you guys have got that all figured out, but I don't, haven't. So I'm just trying to understand how that works.
You want to answer that question, Ernest?
Yeah, we would go ahead and begin the construction before, or secure the contract at least prior to getting the funding, and then that would come in the form of a reimbursement. That's my understanding, and I know that that those provisions are changing almost by the minute. There's a lot of fluidity in how those are being on how those are being awarded. So we are at this moment. I have my team exploring how we can get this done as quickly as possible.
Okay, Chairman Black, can I may I continue?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I'm all for this. I think it's a great idea that we need it desperately. We can't wait a minute to get going on it. I'm just trying to understand the exposure if we do not, for some reason, receive reimbursement. I mean, there's never a guarantee. I mean, we probably would, but I'm just trying to understand the downside. If we don't receive reimbursement from the feds, then we're out $3 million instead of 800,000 or whatever it is. That's all I'm trying to understand.
So, Councilman Black, this is Marilyn. Can I chime in just from a personal perspective of what we've been doing and the expectation? So
yes, please share your perspective because you've been dealing with FEMA and with the feds and with the state more than anyone has. So yes, please give us some information.
Yeah, so Councilman Stewart, you're right to be concerned. I did, so the county and regionally, we've been looking at vets.
The goal is to have between 500 and 1,000 beds, in particular across the valley from Mesquite to Laughlin, Boulder City, to wherever we can get them. So one of the things that currently has been happening in the Southern Nevada Health District is responsible for placing people, quite frankly. However, the county has stepped in, and we've been paying for folks that needed to be quarantined at the cost of over $1,000 a day in some cases. So the county, the health district, went on a tour out to this local manufacturer because we needed something right away. And so our priorities have changed from tourists is where we started to now it's homeless and it's some assisted living folks that are currently in the hospital that cannot go back to their location. So the Senate bill that passed allows for, they're working on being able to get us the dollars within the next 45 days because there's a lot. Imagine 1,000 beds and what you have to set up today. And tomorrow we're setting up 300 for homeless at Cashman, and that's a cost of $3 million, and that's 90 days. So my thought was that the health district had that money in place. We could use it for the long term. And I'm the biggest critic when it comes to putting capital money in. And I'm thinking this, we didn't spend it to lease a building. But worst case scenario, we would spend down half of our capital that is there today, which could be extra space if we needed it in the long term. But we anticipate that we'll get 75% of it back across the board. So this is the state, the Army Corps of Engineers, the regional Henderson is a big part of that conversation. We're all working in that same direction. So I myself feel comfortable that we're going to be able to get those dollars back fast. Normally, FEMA could be 10 to 12 years before we get reimbursed. But because of the Senate bill, the CARES Act that was passed, it ups the time frame on when people will be reimbursed.
All right. Nice, Commissioner Kirkpatrick. I appreciate that. That obviously puts it in perspective. I mean, really, in my mind, there is no there's no question we've got to move forward with it. I just wanted to make sure I understood what the downside was, and we would just all have to pull together as a community and figure this out if we weren't reimbursed. I just wanted to, I hate to look at the worst case scenario, but I just wanted to understand it. Thank you very much. That's all I had, Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman Stewart and Commissioner Kirkpatrick. Appreciate the insight and the question. Any other questions from the board? If you'd like to state your name and ask your question, that would be great.
Chairman Black, this is Frank Nemec.
Hey, Dr. Nemec.
A couple of questions. Do the pods include a bathroom or waste management facility? And the second is the schematic I saw said it was labeled emergency room. I assume that was some oversight.
Go ahead, Ernest. Go ahead.
Yeah, that was just part of the schematic, the proposal from the contractor for the facility. And yes, it was an oversight there. It did not imply that we were setting up an emergency facility like that. In terms of the bathroom, my understanding is that it will include those facilities, all necessary facilities to run this operation.
So each pod has a bathroom, or?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how that configuration is, but I'm pretty sure that it will have adequate for the space that we will have in which we will have patients. Adequate number of bathrooms, in other words.
And my last comment is that I'm counting that there's 30 pods or 30 beds in this facility. Is that correct?
My number was 40 from the contractor.
All right. So we're talking about $80,000 per bed. Is that correct?
About that, yeah.
And So we're also talking about, given the convalescence or quarantine period is anywhere from 1 to 2 weeks, that this would be used maybe twice per bed, that we're talking about 80 people max for this facility. Is that correct?
I'm going to defer to Dr. Leggett on that one.
Thank you. I don't understand why you're saying 80 people max.
Well, if each bed was used twice during the period that we're going through, that I would see a maximum of 80 people being accommodated.
Well, I honestly don't know how did you arrive to that conclusion, because the other thing is to keep in mind that most people who will be at this facility, they wouldn't stay 14 days because, again, it will be a combination of people who have been discharged from the hospital but don't have a place to go, so they could be in a transition between the hospital and the community, whether it is 3 days, 4 days, or 5 days. It depends on the status and history of that patient. And also, the second piece is how long this outbreak is going to last. At least I don't have the answer for that question, but I just wonder how did you get to the 80.
Well, I guess my question is, what's your length of stay anticipated per visit?
Well, the length of stay anticipated is the maximum it could be is 14 days. But again, since this is a combination of people who are actually discharged from the hospital or people who are recently diagnosed, You will have a combination of people who might stay at that facility 2-3 days and some people who might stay there 7 days or 10 days or just extreme 14 days. But I would say the exception would be the 14 days more than the 3 to 5 days transition from out of the hospital.
Okay, thank you.
Chair Black, this is Brian Knutson.
Hey, Brian.
Dr. Again, would you mind talking about the staffing for this facility? And thank you for the presentation. And Chairwoman Kirkpatrick, thanks for providing the overview. I was just curious about the staffing and how it applies to this facility and maybe broader as this conversation evolves in the community. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you, Brian. Actually, we haven't gone into a staffing for the facility yet. What we anticipate for that for that facility is a combination of our staffing, temporary staff, and volunteering. So we haven't gone into the details of that. It's something that we are going to address as soon as we finish this process here.
Councilman Black, I want to add a couple more things just for, because I serve our house. Doing that.
Okay, he's got the smooth jazz.
Marilyn Kirkpatrick, every time you speak, musical things happen in the background. That's what it's all about.
I know, and I'm trying to get on 5 other calls. So
you come with choirs. That's awesome.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
So there's a couple things that I wanted to, and I apologize. I know a little bit more because I'm part of the regional multi-agency committee, so I want to help the rest of the board. And everybody knows I'm the biggest critic of how we spend dollars on the health district. But there's a couple of things. So currently today, as I said earlier, we have the Army Corps of Engineers, and we have so many other folks going out trying to figure out what is the best possible thing that we can do to keep our hospital beds free. So most importantly, people that need them have them across the valley. Currently, what FEMA is quoting us is $140,000 a bed if they were to come in and make a makeshift facility, and then they just build it, leave it, and then we also have to pay for the dollars to put it back into where we started. Dr. Nemec, you're right. We're looking at surgical facilities. We're looking at different facilities as a whole, and we anticipate in the next 5 to 7 days that we'll have everything locked down so that we as a community can feel comfortable that we have all the resources that we need as we flatten the curve and have our peak. So at least for this, at $140,000 a bed, and then we have to repair whatever facility that we use and put it back to, this is something that, one, is mobile, so we can put it in a permanent spot if we choose to, and we could use it throughout the valley if we needed to for a later date. Two is that we need all different types of different housing out there, and this is just one avenue of the bigger piece. And this is, Dr. Lagon is part of this MAC with Jeff Quinn, so when it comes to PP&E, when it comes to all of that, regionally everybody is working together. So I just wanted to try to answer some of the questions. But we are looking at all options. But remember that the House District per statute is supposed to be responsible for the housing. Currently, we don't have everybody stepped in to help that so that the health district didn't have to do that. And we currently do that with our tuberculosis patients. We do that with some of our other patients. So there doesn't mean, and currently we're paying for our other patients, and this could be a long-term avenue to say, you know, instead of a vendor, whatever we pay them, that we could do it right there for the future as well. So I just wanted to bring a regional perspective.
Thank you, Commissioner Kirkpatrick, for that. Are there other questions from our board members at this time?
Chairman Black, this is Scott Nielsen.
Scott.
I noticed that there are quite criteria require that we demonstrate that we have looked at alternatives and what the other implementation options would be. And from what I just heard Commissioner Kirkpatrick say, we have looked, and I just want Dr. Leguin and Ernest or whoever to confirm that we have looked at other options and that this one is cost effective. We have looked at an alternative in terms of another type of structure like this or even other facilities, as one of the commenters mentioned earlier. I just want that to be on the record that we've looked at those things and that we can comply with that stated criteria.
Ernest or Dr. Leguin, would you like to speak to that?
Hi, this is Dr. Leguin. Yes, we have been working with the MAC, and we have been looking with them at multiple facilities across the valley, and there are options for other kind of services. The service that we are trying to bring to this facility is a service that is limited to a very specific scope, and that's what I want you to understand. And this is a segment of the population where we have been struggling in recent weeks to actually solve the problem of those patients either being discharged and no place to go, or now the issue with the nursing homes refusing to readmit the residents because they are requesting the negative coronavirus test. But again, there are facilities in the area that I've been looking at for a hospital kind of service than what we are trying to offer here. So it's a different scope.
Did that answer your question, Scott?
It did, and I appreciate the response. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Other questions from the board or comments? Okay, thank you so much. At this time, I believe it's appropriate that we turn this over to the board for a motion and a second and a vote. Is that appropriate, Ms. Bradley?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So at this time, I would entertain a motion from the board relative to approval of agreement of COVID-19 alternate care facility at 280 South Decatur.
So moved, Dan Stewart.
I have a motion by Councilman Stewart, a second by Councilman Knutson. We're going to do an all in favor first, and then I'll ask for any opposition second. So all in favor of this motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And are there any in opposition? Please say nay. Then state your name. That motion passes. So thank you all very much for that. Thank you to the team. This is a fast-moving situation. We're trying very, very diligently as a community, as a health district, to get out in front of it to the best of our ability so we can serve the community that need our help. And I believe that our team has done an amazing job considering these unique and unprecedented circumstances. And again, thank you to that. At this time, we'll go to item number six, our second public comment. We'd like to ask that you'll state your name and address for the record. Please keep your comments brief and to a specific point, and we'll go ahead and open that up at this time.
Yes, this is Dr. Kathleen Peterson, and I'm at 8390 Las Lomas Way in Las Vegas. And I would like to ask a question that a number of people that I've talked to have asked, and that is, who is going to furnish the food specifically, and where is it going to be done? Everyone's asked about their food.
Are you talking about food service relative to this alternate care facility annex?
Yes,
or,
sir.
Yes. Okay. During this portion of we will not be able to have a dialogue. However, that is a critical question. As Dr. LeGuin stated, the first step is the procurement of the facility to activate that, because it's not an inflatable thing that happens overnight. It takes a handful of days in construction and build out. However, in order to do this right, we have to have a really comprehensive plan at every level, and those are things in the works. Food service is a critical component of that, because you can't have patients that are in quarantine that are ill going out and getting food. So certainly when the plan to launch this is formulated, it will be conveyed to the community, and that food service component will be a key part of that.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Dr. Peterson. Anyone else?
Victoria's here.
Hi, Victoria.
Hi. I just wanted to just make a comment. You know, the district itself has always struggled with communication internally. That's nothing new. But I think this is a really great opportunity now to really work on those skills within the district. You know, oftentimes we're the last ones to hear kind of what's going on, which is why I asked to have this in a bigger context. Because we really don't know what is happening across Las Vegas or anywhere about what's happening. We don't know what's happening coming out of the MAC. Internally, we get an email every Friday from our ICS team, which tells us what happened during the week. So the retrospective kind of ideal is like, well, I already knew the case count because I'm watching it constantly throughout the day. I would rather hear proactively, what are we doing for the future? What are we working on as projects to procure? This is the most information I've gotten now has been from Commissioner Kirkpatrick. which makes me feel really good to know that things are actually happening. There's just, when there's radio silence, you just kind of think that nothing is going on. And I really think it's a great opportunity for us to figure out ways of communicating better within the district, especially now that we're remote working and everybody's super siloed, with as worse than they ever were before. So I would just kind of ask that we become a little bit more forthcoming with information, because we are first responders in this type of scenario. And, you know, people shouldn't be talking amongst themselves going, I don't know what's going on, that we could probably do better internally than we have been. But again, it's an opportunity. It's something that we can work on.
You know what, Victoria, I really, really appreciate you saying that. And if we're ever going to over communicate and communicate thoroughly, now is the time. And so I love the fact that you pointed that out. I will work together with Dr. Lagana. Everyone is doing a remarkable job in doing their part, but we all need to know what's going on. At the City of North Las Vegas, we have increased our communication to all employees on a daily basis, and that's been well received. So we can talk offline on how to improve that, but I think that is a wonderful, wonderful idea and something that we absolutely have to harness and capture this opportunity. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Any other comment? All right, hearing. Oh, okay.
Is this a time for, I'm Faven Kay with Fox 5, and just wondering when would be the appropriate time to ask some questions that we have?
So right now, during this public comment section, it's just the board hearing comments and thoughts from the community and from stakeholders. I anticipate, and I will turn it over to Dr. Legan and Jennifer Sizemore, our public information director. But I anticipate that we're sending out daily information to the media to help disseminate to the public, and the media partners have been remarkable at helping us get the current information out to everyone throughout our community. I anticipate that we'll have another the last one we did was the virtual call-in press conference, and when that occurs next, I'm certain that we will be talking about the details of this procurement and how it's going to be rolled out and how it's going to be operated to benefit our community. So right now, this is not an opportunity for question and answer, but certainly that opportunity is forthcoming. So thank you. Thank you so much for bringing that up.
Thank you. Thanks for explaining that. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, you know what? Thanks again, everyone. We're going to close the public comment. Truly, truly thankful for everyone, for their participation, for their support and help. We're going to work together as a community to get through this in the best possible manner. Thank you again to those that are frontline responders and to our health district for doing what they're doing. And at this time, we'll adjourn this meeting. Thank you all so much.